praise today. We give you thanksgiving. Stir our hearts today, Father God, to revelation knowledge, power of Christ. Revelation knowledge come, Father. As Alan preaches the word, as anointing is upon his life, Father God, to teach the word of God, let revelation come to us. Let there be an increase in our life today, Father, that this time and purpose would come. In the name of Jesus, we lift up our pastor to you. We thank you for Bill. We stand on your great and precious promises. We stand on the victory that you had at the cross. When you raised him from the dead, oh Lord, and lifted him up on high, that you will raise Pastor Bill up, Father God. We thank you that he is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Strengthen his soul, his body, his mind, Lord, his spirit, man. Strengthen him, oh Lord God. Thank you that every cell will come into order. Every part of his strength, the things that bring strength to his body would come to order, Father. Strength to his kidneys, strength to his heart, strength to his lungs, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We speak to it because that's how faith works. It says what it cannot see. It brings it to pass because it speaks it into being. Lord, we thank you for healing, and that's what we call upon him, Father. Strength to his mortal flesh, Father God. We thank you. Lord, Alan, come up here. Word of God come forth from Brother Alan. Hallelujah. Stir up, Father, the spirit of a teacher, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so blessed to be back here with you again. Every time I get a chance to share, I call it an opportunity, because I really do count it a blessing. God ultimately arranges for me to share. It comes through man. Pastor Bill asked me to share again this morning, and I don't take it lightly, I guess is what I would say. As soon as I find out that I'm the one to share, I go, okay, God, what do you have? Because I don't want it to be me. Yesterday, I just found out that I'd be sharing today yesterday, and I think I've shared this with you before. Because I'm an organized person, when I first started sharing, I wanted at least 2 weeks' notice. A month was better. Seriously. Then I went to where 2 weeks was good, a week I'm fine. Now it's, okay, yesterday's good enough.
You got a minute.
And it's been less than 12 hours before. All I can say is there was a slight bit of panic because it was time to go to bed, and then I had to get up and share, so I had a minute. But what I found is each time, no matter how much time there is, in fact, sometimes it's better when I don't have time because I can't get in the way. In other words, it's just God. So this time I went to God, and I loved it in that I knew what I was supposed to share and had the complete teaching done within 3 hours. I'm going, well, that's great. Oftentimes when I have 2 weeks, it takes me a full week. So God knows is what I'm saying. If you've got less time, he arranges it in less time. And I'm very thankful for that. So today I want to share three different things. Usually I talk about one, but as God showed me, it was like, well, share this, and then share this, and add this. In fact, he was still adding this morning. I said I had it in 3 hours. Yeah, but usually every Sunday morning he'll add something. So I do want to pray as well before I start, because I found I need it. So I'm going to pray for you, but I'm also praying for me. Father God, we just thank you for your presence here, for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us into your truth. Give me your words and your words only. And I thank you that everyone listening, including myself, because I'm going to hear it, that you give us ears to hear and hearts that are open and ready to receive, and then give us the courage, the strength, your ability to then walk out what you have for us. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, I'd like to start with this, and that is, Pastor Bill actually talked to me earlier in the week after I shared last week, when he talked to me a week ago Friday as Steve was driving me home. He'd asked me to share last Sunday, and I said, well, I can share in my sleep. And I did. That's what I'll tell you. I was basically almost sleeping last week when I was done. I'm going, boy, I hope they got something, because I was still pretty much sleeping last week. So all I had to do was rely on God. This week I'm awake again. So hopefully you got something out of that, because it doesn't have to be me, okay? But he asked me again, the same question he asked me a week ago. And when he first asked me, he likes asking me, so what did God show you while you were on the trip? What did you get? And the first thing I shared with him was, this was earlier in the week, I said that what God impressed upon me, even while I was there, was that no matter what I was going through, what I felt like, that he was going to get done what he wanted to get done. In spite of me, either with me, through me, or without me. It didn't matter. He was going to get done what he was going to get done. And that gives me great peace when I'm going through things. Because then I know that, oh, it really doesn't matter about me. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. But when God wants something done, he's going to find a way to get it done, is what I found. And throughout my trip, he kept showing me that, is what I will say. When something would happen, someone else would step up. When something else happened, I shared with you that I had passed two kidney stones, and I was supposed to go on to the next village, but the Marabella said, nah, this is not like the United States. You just don't go on in the bush and go further into the bush and further away from help, because you may reach a point where you need some help quickly. So they got me out of the bush. And I can tell you, be it stubbornness or just not listening, my flesh rose up like, no, God will get me through this. But when I'm there under their ministry. So I said, okay, we'll do exactly what you would say. But my first thought was, well, I just taught an hour and a half while passing a kidney stone. If I can do that, I can go to the next village. That's just me, okay? But once again, I submitted because I'm there under their ministry. And to me, that's a great lesson for anyone to learn. And that is, when you are under someone, you do what they want you to do, whether you think it's right or not. In fact, you may be convinced that what they're doing is wrong. Okay? But if it does not go against the word of God, submission means you do it. Okay? And I can tell you that God walked me through some things like that. And everything worked out great because I'm watching God do what God does. And so maybe that's just something someone needed to hear. That wasn't part of what God told me to share. But that was the first thing I shared, was God's going to get done what God wants done, either through me or without me. It was really fun to watch. Pastor Musa, which his name translates in their language, Musa means Moses, okay? And Musa is the Tungwe pastor who used to oversee all the Tungwe pastors, and that's the first village we were at was speaking to the Tungwe. But the Marabellas had asked him, and he agreed to go to the Vidundun and start a church in another tribe. It was the first time that it was the Marabellas sending someone else into a tribe that they hadn't gone to first. They were letting him be the opening for this tribe. And he did that, and now there's a church of, well, a year ago, there was at least 30 people there that were saved within a year. And that's amazing. So, but what happened when I was unable to go on to the next village, Musa, who had been my interpreter the last 2 days, well, he had already shared everything that I shared in their language, so they sent him to the next village to share it. In other words, it's still the message that God had put on my heart to share at these villages, they still heard. Just because I was physically unable to do so didn't mean it wasn't going to get done. Now, I will also tell you that while Musa was sharing in Mabungu, the second village I was supposed to go to, by the end of that time, he wound up with malaria and typhoid fever. So he had to leave the village. He needed to find a doctor. And I can tell you that we were supposed to go to the Vidunda, which was where he had been moved to. But that didn't stop Moose either. He went out to the hospital, then went on to the Venona, and he shared there. With malaria, typhoid, it doesn't matter. In other words, God gives you the grace to do it no matter what you're going through. That's how I could share there passing a kidney stone. It's not something I recommend to anybody. Okay, you're going to share this morning. Let's pass a kidney stone while you're doing it. No. Okay? It's not your first thought. But God will give you the grace and the ability to do it if you're the one to do it. He'll give you the anointing to do it. And so that's what God showed me. It's going to get done by me or somebody else. And I love just watching how God moved and worked everything out all the time. I tell people every time I go, those who don't know what I do and why I do it, I have a general answer, but it's the truth. They'll say, so why do you go to the mission fields? And I say, I go to watch and see what God's going to do. I really do. I enjoy myself so much because I just go, even though I'm sharing, I just watch what God does. And it's so fun just to watch what God does. And I got to do a lot of that this time. But then Pastor Bill asked me again later in the week. I do believe it was Friday. 2 days ago. He said, so now that you've had a little more time to think about it, what else did God show you? That's what I'm going to share today. And it's two parts, mainly. And that is about something of God that God's worked more into me than probably anything else that I can say. Now, I say that giving all the glory to God and not boasting in and of myself because it's He did it, not me. Okay? But out of everything in God's Word that God wants to work into us, the thing that He's probably worked more into my life is peace. Okay? And I love being in peace. But He showed me some more, even during this trip. And specifically, as I went through the physical things that I went through, I can tell you that during those times, I was never out of peace. I was really sick. I was really hurting. And yet my peace never left. And it doesn't have to. And I guess that's one of the things I want you to get. Because as soon as your peace leaves, now you're in trouble. Because typically why you don't have peace is because you stopped trusting God. I don't know if you've ever made that link before. When people ask me my favorite verse in the Bible, it's a verse in Isaiah. And it's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. I'm actually jumping to about my third point. But it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. That word trust there is really meaning exactly the same thing as has faith in you. Okay? When you look up that Hebrew word, you'll get the idea that it's the one who has faith in you is the one that he'll keep in perfect peace. Okay? Let's see if I can make this connection a little clearer. If, in fact, you don't believe in God or what God says, in other words, if you doubt it or you're in unbelief, those are the two enemies of faith, doubt, unbelief. Now, and I'll put this way. They're the exact opposites of faith. If you're in doubt, if you're in unbelief, that's exactly the opposite of what God says you're to be in. You're to be in faith. Now, I like to word it this way. Fear is the enemy of faith. Because, see, fear is the result of doubt and unbelief. There is no reason for you to be in fear if you believe God is who He says He is, and He's going to do what He says He'll do. So, in other words, you really can't get to fear if you're totally in faith. Do you see the link? There's a link there. So just as we're only saved by faith, we must continue to do everything that we do walking in faith. If not, we're going to find ourselves in fear. And one of the things that God put on my heart to share this morning is, he more or less said that there's at least one person here that needs to hear this today. In other words, that you're experiencing some sort of fear. Because he'll give a message just for one person. Now, there may be more, but he impressed upon me, someone here needs to hear this today. Because fear just doesn't happen when you're in the African bush and you're passing kidney stones or you basically had food poisoning. You know, things like that are happening to you. There's opportunities for fear. Well, there's opportunities for fear here too, okay? But the key is, our key is to remain in faith. And I want to share some things with you today that hopefully will help you to remain in faith, okay? So the first thing I want to say to you is, it was the first thing on my outline to share with you, was that just as I shared about love during the kind of the first half of this year, before I went on this trip, is that the world has a perverted definition of everything that the Bible talks about, okay? And we talked about the world's definition of love. I want to give you the world's definition of peace, okay? Now, once again, I'm saying this is the world. And by world, I mean those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and don't know the truth of God's word. Because they would come to this conclusion, and they have. Here's what peace means to the world. Freedom from disturbance. Tranquility. A state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. That's the definition. I pulled it right out of the dictionary. Now, what I will tell you is, if you read through the entire Word of God, you will find that's not God's definition of peace and not how peace works. In fact, what I have found in my life is I often experience, though I experience His peace at all times, I notice it more when I'm going through all the things that it says peace isn't. In other words, freedom from disturbance. Well, often when I'm most disturbed, I'll go, wow, the peace of God is here. When there is no tranquility, when there is wars going on, be it in the world or even in battles in my own life, you don't have to wait till the war or the battles ended to be in peace. And that's more or less what the world's definition says. So as I was going through these things in the physical, all I can tell you was I was just thanking God for His peace the whole time. And it shouldn't amaze me, but I am amazed every time. I look at it and go, this is just so good. I don't have to let any of this bother me because I trust in Him. Yeah, and literally we have the victory. Now, I want to show you a connection here. It's something, Randy alluded to it in the teaching earlier this morning. So hopefully you go back and listen to it. He emphasized that though he is sharing a chronological history to give us some background, it's done for us to be able to see some biblical truths clear, okay? And he shared some things this morning that if he doesn't go on to share about it in the next few weeks, I probably will sometime. All I can say is a few of the things that he started to talk about, I'm in my spirit going, oh, keep going. I'd love for people to hear this. But I'm going to try to stick to what God showed me I'm supposed to share today. Sometimes he lets me go off. Sometimes he says, no, stick to this. Here's what I told you to share. But I want to share with you some of the things that God said. Share this with them so they see this even better. For me, I do not try to impress upon anybody what I think or what I feel. Because what I think and what I feel doesn't matter. Okay? It really doesn't matter. In fact, I'll tell people, those who are close to me, if they ask me a question and I can't give them an exact scripture or I know this is what the Word of God says, I will preface something with, well, this is what I think. But then I'll tell them, don't go by what I think. Find out what God's Word says. Because God doesn't think He knows. Find out what God knows and rely on that. So even myself, don't go by what I think. when I share God's word with you, you can know it's truth. Go on that. So I'm going to give you some of God's word this morning. I try to stick to God's word when I'm sharing. So John 14, 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Notice this. Jesus says he's leaving us with his peace. So he's left it here for us, okay? And we're going to go into the who that us is more clear, more defined in a minute from God's word, so that you won't just have to take my word for it. But he says, "My peace I leave with you, I give it to you." So in other words, we have it. You can't question whether you've got it or not. If you're not walking in it, that's a different story. That's not on God, it's on you. That's no condemnation at all. It's just the truth, because he's given it to you. It's just like anything that God has given to us, we can choose to receive it or not to. We can choose to walk in it or not walk in it. He gives us that choice. Now, my prayer is for each one of you that the peace that God's given you, walk in it. Okay? He actually gave me a prayer from his word to pray at the end of this. You'll get to hear it. It'll be one of the shortest prayers you've ever heard. And I joke with my brother-in-law. He would like it. And there's a story behind that. So it's the peace that Jesus leaves with us. And notice that it says it's not as the world gives. So it's not according to that definition that I just gave you. It's not that. It's not when there's no war. It's not when there's no disturbance. It's not when you're in tranquility and everything is going great. No, the peace that Jesus left with us is one that exists even in the middle of all of that. Now, he has different ways, and if you read the Word of God, and I'm not going to go there fully today, sometimes he'll remove you from whatever's causing your peace to go away. That's great. I usually say, sign me up for that option. I like that one. I like option two. He eliminates whatever's causing the fear. I like that one too. I like them both better than option three, which is the one he usually uses in my life. He'll give you peace as you go through it. In other words, all the problem is still there. It's still going on, but yet you have peace anyhow. And that was what was going on during this trip. Several things happened. I don't share those things to give Satan glory in any way. But I will tell you that when the word of God's going forth, Satan doesn't like it. And he usually tries to do something. But yet, God's going to succeed. And that's why I shared the first part of the story. Satan tried to do what he was going to do, but it didn't matter. God still got done what God was going to get done. And Jesus brought each one of us through what we had to go through. And for me, it was great to look back and go, I didn't lose my peace during that. And that's what I want to encourage you in here today, too. You don't have to lose your peace either. Stay in peace when you're going through something. In fact, the Bible says to seek peace. Look for it, okay? In the middle of whatever it is you're going through. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is another passage that I know most of you know. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Notice that peace just blows your mind. It passes all understanding. I put just blows your mind, because you can't figure it out. It says it passes all understanding. That means you're able to figure it out and explain to someone else. Based on what I was going through, there was no reason for me to be in peace, except for I had Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about next, because that's what God kept bringing up to me the whole time as I was going through it, because it's right from Scripture. Ephesians 2:14. I want you to go, for those of you who have your Bibles, your electronic devices with your Bibles on them, I often share a Scripture, and then just quote it and go on. This one I want you to go and look at. I want it right in front of your eyes so that you see it right now. So I'm going to pause while you're getting there, because this is the key out of everything I'm going to share today about peace. Ephesians 2:14. Are y'all there? We good? Anyone not there yet? Raise your hand if you're not there, because I want everyone to see it. Okay, I'll give you a moment. I want you to be able to see this. This is the key. Here we go. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, I hope you all know here that he himself is Christ Jesus. Okay? That's who the he is. What I also want you to see is what it's referencing here. He himself is our peace. He has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation. What does that have to do with peace? Well, prior to us being saved, there was a wall between God and us. We were at enmity with God. We were not at peace with God. Okay? So Jesus is the one who broke down that wall. It's the only way that wall can be broken down. It says he himself is our peace. We now have peace with God. And that's the starting point for your peace. Without that, you have no ground for peace. So Jesus himself is our peace, because he's the one that made it so that we have peace with God the Father. That's the starting point. There was a wall separating us. Jesus took care of that. He himself is our peace. So, also want to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Real peace is that which comes from knowing that you're right with God, too. It's from knowing that you're right with God. It starts with faith. You can't have it without faith. But faith in the one who made it so that you can have peace. And that is Jesus Christ himself. He's the one who arranged it. But then there's something else you need to know. You see, God made us righteous. We didn't do it ourselves. We couldn't. But God asked us to walk out our lives in righteousness. So in other words, we need to live in a way that proves that he has made us righteous. Because once again, there too, we can either live the way he wants us to or not. We have a choice. So we need to know that we're righteous if we're going to live righteous. If you don't know it, then it's impossible for you to do it. That has to be your starting point. I am the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's my starting point. That enables me then to walk in righteousness. So he puts me in right standing with God. There are a couple definitions for righteousness as it's used in the Bible. One of them is right standing with God. And only Jesus can put us in right standing with God. That's it. The Bible makes it clear. So he makes us righteous. But then he tells us to walk out our lives in righteousness. Well, if he's already made you in right relationship, then what does it working it out right? Another definition for righteousness means in the right way. Meaning, you do the right things. You do, and the right things are the things that God tells you to do, both in his word and through his spirit. So in other words, you walk rightly based on what his word and his spirit tells you to do. That's how you walk it out. So we need to walk righteously according to his word and according to his spirit. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified by peace, made just as though we've never sinned, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can't be done without him. It's just reinforcing what we've already said. But notice again, it's through faith. I want you to see that we get saved through faith, and then what is easy to do is to try then to do other things in our own strength. But everything we do after getting born again has to be done in faith too, or else it doesn't work right. That if we try to do it any other way, that means we've gotten involved. And I don't know about any of you, I found I can mess things up real quick. That's just me. Maybe you don't. If I don't do it based on God's word and faith in him, it really doesn't work the way it's supposed to in my life. Maybe yours is different, although I will say I doubt it based on what the word says. Okay? So this to me is key. We're justified by faith. And it says, if we are justified by faith, does it say, well, we may have some peace in our life? Does your Bible say that? It says we have it. In other words, you don't even have a choice. It's there whether you want it or not. How do you like that? If you're saved by faith, you have peace. So I want to tell you right now, you have peace whether you know it or not. And you can't even get rid of it because you have it. It's really that simple. Once again, the choice is, are you going to believe it and are you going to walk in it? But you have it because the word says, if you were justified by faith, you have peace. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It doesn't have to get complicated. You have peace. To me, that speaks to me. I have peace. And does it say you have peace sometimes and not at other times? Doesn't say that in my Bible. I have peace all the time. It's a great place to be. And I want all of you to be in that same place because you have it. Okay? Now, I already alluded to this verse, but I want to go back to it and look at it again, even a little closer. It is my, when people press me for my favorite verse in the Bible, if you say you have to pick one, tell me what it is. It's Isaiah 26:3. That's my favorite verse. I have hundreds of favorite verses, but if you're going to press me, pick one. I really like this verse. And it says, you, and by you here, that's a capital Y. That means God. It's meaning God right there. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace. I want to emphasize that word, perfect. It doesn't just say peace. It says perfect. Because what God gives you is perfect. Okay? What the world's going to try to give you is some convoluted picture of what peace looks like, and it won't be perfect. Okay? But God will give you perfect peace. And I can tell you that in the midst of what I was going through while I was out there, I was in perfect peace. And I love it. I mean, I am so thankful for it. Throughout the whole trip, I'm just thanking God. I'm going through passing kidney stones, and I'm looking at it going, wow, God, this hurts. But you're still doing exactly what you want to do. Thank you for using me. Thank you for keeping me in peace. I mean, I even still had some joy. I'm going, wow, does that not make sense? I'm serious. But the Bible even says that in his presence is fullness of joy. When I'm spending time with God, I've got joy no matter what I'm going through physically. But peace never left. And once again, this is not anything about me. This is what God says is available to all of you. And there are certain things that God is still working into me, greater than other things. I'm going to guess I probably still have some more things to learn on peace. But this is one of the things he's worked into me more than other things. And so I love seeing it play out in my life. And my desire is that all of you walk in it too. All I will tell you is it's a great place to be. In peace all the time. It's so nice. I think all of you would agree with me. When you experience peace, do you go, this is nice. This is nice. Be a nice place to be all the time. Well, you can be, is what I'm saying. So, but let's look at this verse. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace. See, that all the time is implied by keep. Did you catch that? He's going to keep you there. He's going to keep you in perfect peace. It's not you doing it. He's doing it. You, God, our God, is going to keep me and you in perfect peace. But there is a condition. A lot of times, Christians like to leave out the condition part and say, sign me up for that, I'll take it. Well, I will say, I don't know the number. I ought to go through and try to do this someday. It'd probably take an awful lot of time. How many of God's promises have a condition and how many don't? I will say most of them have a condition. One of the main conditions that apply to almost everything in the Bible is, are you saved or not? Because most of those promises are only applicable to those who are saved. Okay? And not to the unsaved. Okay? But one of the things God asked me to share here today was something that doesn't quite fit with peace, but he said, share this today. Because there is one way, and only one way, that you can have this peace, and we've already talked about it. If he himself is your peace, can you have peace without being saved? No. It's not possible. You can have the world's definition of peace, but it's not the peace of God. It's not perfect peace. So when you see the world running around in fear and wondering what's going to happen next, shouldn't surprise you. Okay? Now, it should cause you to pray for them. But the only way they're going to get out of that is to know Jesus. Because he is our peace. Without him, they can't have it. With him, we're guaranteed to have it. Do you get that? I want you to see that today. So, our prayer should be, and this is one of the things that God wanted me to impress upon people, is that without salvation, peace is not possible. And God brought back to my mind something that I read about, I'll say maybe 10 to 15 years ago, and I've used it once or twice when I've been sharing Jesus with someone who's not saved. And God led me to share it today. Sometimes different people need different approaches to hearing about Jesus and what he's has for us. And this may speak to someone that here that would go, okay, based on that, I need to give my life to Jesus. I don't know all of you personally to know where you're at with Jesus. I don't need to. I hope that every one of you know him as your Lord and Savior. But what I will say is, if you do not, after hearing what I'm going to share, find someone here who does, and most do, and ask them, what does it take? Because I need him, and I want this peace, and I know I can't have it without him. Okay? So search someone out if it's your day today. Literally, it'll be the best thing you've ever done, ever in your life. So I encourage you in that. Maybe that's the Mirabella's wearing off on me. That's all they do. They just go in and share Jesus, and everyone gets saved. I joke about it, and even with them, they go, well, anybody can do that. I'm going, oh, yeah? We can, but God gives certain anointings to people, too, based on what he's called them to do. And all I can say is, they're anointed to do that. Doesn't mean that I can't and that you can't either. But they have a special anointing in that area. And hopefully it's rubbing off on me some is what I'm saying. Because I thought, oh, he's going to have me share about coming to know Jesus today. And that's really what we do the whole time we're in Tanzania. The whole time. We touch on other subjects, but it's all about getting to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. I want to share a story with you from the world. But it is so applicable to the truth of the Word of God. How many of you have ever heard the name of George Wilson? Anybody? I would love to see. Anybody heard the name George Wilson? Now, there's a specific George Wilson. There's probably thousands, maybe, George Wilsons in the world. Okay? But I want to talk about a specific George Wilson. And he was alive about 1830. Okay? So you don't know him personally because he's been dead for a little while, is what I'm saying. But so you may have, I don't think any of you are old enough to have known him. But George Wilson was a man who, with a couple of other men, decided one day to rob a train of federal mail. And during the robbery, a couple people were killed. Now, Andrew Jackson was the president at the time. And some people that were friends of Andrew Wilson, of George Wilson, actually petitioned the president to offer him a pardon. We now know about it, that it happens all the time, typically at the end of each presidency. The president offers freedom to people who have committed crimes slash sins. Okay? And this was one of the, if not the first time, it was very early on in this process. Okay? And so Andrew Jackson agreed to pardon this man, George Wilson, even though robbing the federal mail is a federal offense, and even though people had been killed during this robbery, Andrew Jackson decided to give him a pardon. Now, here's where the story gets interesting. George Wilson refused it. Okay? And I didn't read it this morning, but I read a fuller detail of this story back 10 or 15 years ago. Talked about some of the proposed reasons, things he said about why he turned it down. But it was so perplexing to everybody, this case actually wound up going to the Supreme Court. And several of you may have heard, because he's a pretty famous man in the Supreme Court, maybe one of the few that you might remember back from 1830, and that is Chief Justice Marshall. And Marshall and the Supreme Court came out with this ruling. And he said that a pardon not received cannot be carried out, and therefore he must be killed. He must be put to death. Think about the Word of God. Jesus, through the cross, has provided for us a pardon, forgiveness of all of our sins. And yet, if we don't receive it, we are condemned to death. And this man was put to death. But think about it. That was the ruling of the Supreme Court. If it's not received, then it cannot be carried out. It cannot happen. It's the same way in the Word of God. That's just a natural example of a truth from God's Word. Jesus provided it, but if we don't accept it, doesn't do anybody any good, specifically the one who doesn't accept it. And they are condemned to death. A sad place to be, but what I would say, I share that story and have with very few people, but I have done it when God has led me to do it, with this encouragement, because it's not about condemnation. Don't let that be you. It's available to you. And I've shared it in church just once or twice, not knowing exactly where everyone's at sitting in each seat. Just because your parents are saved doesn't mean you are. Just because you've been sitting in church for 40 years doesn't mean you're saved. I pray everyone here is. But just in case you're not, listen to that story and know that if you don't receive his free gift, you're still condemned to death. So receive it. That's an encouragement. It's not a condemnation. Don't let today pass, if that's you, is all I'm saying. Okay? But it links back to what I've been sharing about. Because once you do, you will find that you have perfect peace all of the time, with one key other function, and I've mentioned it already. Isaiah 26:3, at the end of that verse, here is the condition. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will not keep your mind focused on God if you don't trust in him. Why should you? Think about it. If you don't trust him, why would you be focused on him? You have no reason to. So the start is to having peace is the same start to being saved. You must have faith. You must trust him. Want to look at just a couple more verses that reinforce this. It's easy to look at this as it just automatically happens. We have some things to learn by looking at what all the Word of God says. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, if you want to look there, to see what it is that we need to do, our part. Now, because remember, we have a part to walking out our righteousness. He makes us righteous, but we have our part. Romans 8, 5 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace." So in other words, we need to keep focused on, in our minds, because remember, our minds aren't what's born again. Our spirit is. So we have a task, and that is getting our minds focused on what it's supposed to be focused on. Okay? And the Word of God here is telling us what our mind is supposed to be focused on. The things that are of the Spirit. Okay? So we have a part in this. Okay? In fact, if you were to look at, sometimes people will read something in the Bible and say, well, this leads to this. And it could be implied, but not necessarily stated. If you were to read Romans 8, 5, you may try to tell someone that if you focus your mind on the things of God, then this happens, okay? If we live according to the flesh, then we'll reap the things according to the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit will reap the things of the Spirit. It doesn't say there that one leads to the other. You may want to imply that, but it doesn't say that there. But it does somewhere else. Okay? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth." And if you continue reading that out, it will talk about that in that setting your mind on the things of God, that you will find yourself reaping and walking in the things of God, okay? But it is our part, and so the Bible tells us this in more than one place. I like to say that not to take just one verse and try to make a doctrine out of it. If I can find it said in several places, usually I want to see it in the Old Testament, somewhere in the prophets, see it again in the New Testament. Specifically, I want to see it in Jesus' life. Don't have time to go to all of those now, but this is a principle that can be shared, that our minds need to be renewed in this area, that we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. So whether you are in the bush in Tanzania going through what I went through, or whether you're here in the United States going through what you're going through, I'm not saying just because I was there and I experienced this, this is anything different than any one of us go through here. There are battles, struggles every day here for everybody. We're not in a bubble. What goes on in the world does affect us. Unless you lock yourself away in a monastery and, you know, do nothing, don't associate with people. I like to tell people, life would be really easy if you didn't have to get around people. It would be easier in that way. But you wouldn't be effective like God wants you to, because God created you for a reason, okay? But we do need to set our minds on things above, focusing on God. And John 16, 63 says this. "These things I have spoken to you." So this is Jesus speaking. "In me you may have peace." Notice that again. It's only in Jesus. over and over again, in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. That's a promise. God doesn't make irrelevant statements. He doesn't just say things offhandedly. This is Jesus speaking. In me, you'll have peace. In the world. Notice it says in the world. We live here, but we're not of this world. Okay? But those who are living in this world, that's where their lives are focused. They're promised tribulation. But be of good cheer. Are you of good cheer? This is Jesus saying, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's look at that Ephesians 2:14 again. He himself is our peace. He has overcome the world. He has given us the victory. In him we have peace, perfect peace, all of the time. So I'm going to close now. And God had me, he showed me a prayer. And he said, just pray this over the people. I do want to check real quick. Is there any announcements today? Okay. Because we're going to end. And how would I put this? Rather abruptly, but it's how God told me to end. I've shared what I'm supposed to share. I like to tell people when I get to teach people, train people, oftentimes like in the leadership training school in Armada. And my next teaching is going to be in January, and it's on how to prepare a sermon. That's what I'm going to be teaching them. And one of the important things that I share is when God says you're done, stop. Don't keep sharing, because then you'll get involved and you'll mess things up. Just stop. And this is what God told me to share today. So I'm believing God got to you what he was supposed to get to you. And now I'm going to say this prayer over you directly out of the Word of God. Okay? It's found in 2 Thessalonians. I don't have the exact reference. So if you want to find it, you'll have to go look yourself, which is a good thing, because then you'll find some other things. I do that all the time with the LTS students. And here's what God says is a good prayer. Now, may the Lord of peace himself, he is the Lord of peace, give you peace in every way. The Lord be with you all. That's my prayer over you today. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. How does that happen? Because he's with you all the time. He never leaves you. So the final closing is, you're blessed. So go out and be a blessing. Amen. That's all God had for me to share with you today. Blessings.